Welcome to Becoming One. I'm Bryant.
And I'm Amy.
And we are so excited to have you all with us again today.
Yeah, so excited.
It is going to be a great podcast. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
Good. You look great.
Thank you.
Smile is great, as always.
Thank you.
So, what do you want to do? You want to dive into what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, we should say what it is.
Let's go ahead and give them the gist of it.
How to fight with your spouse.
How to fight with your spouse.
Yeah.
So I know I could have used a lot of help in this area. I wish somebody would have just sat me down and taught me how to fight.
Man, even with premarital counseling, everything, I feel like this was one topic that I never learned about. And we did not know how to fight.
No.
We didn't know how to have conflict. What do we do when we have conflict? And so I'm so excited to get to talk about this topic because this is something that I knew nothing about as a newly married, even many years married woman. I wish I had so much more information. So I'm so excited to share.
And again, keep in mind, Amy and I never had counseling.
We did do premarital counseling.
We did premarital, but I could have used the marital counseling.
Oh, okay.
So we never had a lot of people invested in our lives that kind of walked us through different stages.
Yeah, we didn't really when it came to this. Mentor or anything like that.
Not much support.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff we've learned when it comes to conflict is just based on our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, we're always going to be upfront and honest with you guys about what we've gone through, what we've dealt with. We just pray that it can help our friends out there that are listening.
Yes, I agree. So before we start talking about it, I like to let our listeners get to know us a little bit better.
Oh, boy.
Since we're going to be friends.
Oh, boy.
So we kind of remembered this week a sad story,
it's a funny story.
I don't know.
It's a very depressing story.
Agree.
I still hurt a little bit when I tell it or think about it because it was so
traumatic.
Yeah. So just so you know, Amy loves to sleep. She doesn't sleep much, I should say.
But
when she does sleep, she loves her sleep.
Yes.
So there's a couple of things in life she savors. That would be sleep being one. Food would be another.
Yep, sleep and food. I'm good.
And then I guess just writing, like having some downtime to write or share some stuff that God's kind of got on her heart. So
when we were very first married, you want to tell it?
I can. It still bothers me a little bit.
Oh, whatever.
I haven't let go of that. This is why we're talking about conflict resolution today, because I haven't let go of that conflict. So when we got married, I was so head over heels for this girl. And one of the things, I know it sounds corny, guys, don't make fun of me. Don't email me and send me messages about how corny I sound, but one of the things I always wanted to do when we were dating is I wanted to see her sleep. I think when we were dating, she fell asleep at my house once and took a nap. And I just thought, she is the prettiest sleeper I've ever seen. So it's something that I always wanted, was to be able to wake up in the same bed with her and just wake up to beautiful Amy next to me. So we hadn't been married long, and
this was probably the first week. I mean, this was
it's very early.
Yeah.
So I laid in bed that day and watched her sleep for a long while. I didn't even get out of the bed. I just watched her sleep. And so I rolled over to her. I gave her a kiss, and I basically said, what, Amy?
I don't remember. I'm so beautiful or something.
I said, you are so beautiful. I love you. And so what she said to me was, shh. So she basically told me to be quiet when I told her that. And it was weird. It's the first time I think my heart ever felt any kind of breaking. I was like, what is this I'm feeling in my heart? So that
pretty
was
much shattered into
man, that didn't sit right for days. I just thought, man, this woman doesn't even care about me after that. So that was a great story.
Still laugh about me shushing you.
Yeah. She could do it today She could do that same thing today and I would basically laugh because I just know. So one thing I do, I like to leave the lights on or not close doors and stuff when I'm getting ready for work and she's still in bed and I'll get a text in all caps that'll say, close the door, please.
Because our bathroom light shines into our bedroom so bright. And I'll, of course, wake up while he's getting ready. And I just want to go back to sleep without the light shining my eyes. So I'm trying to text while I'm half asleep. So I use like half words, shut door, please, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
So funny. I just laugh now. But back then,
yeah, you would have been.
That would have been a huge conflict argument. In our relationship. It would have.
You would have been like, I'm going to work. I can leave the door open if I want. Yeah.
We would have argued for weeks over something that petty. So you can. So that's the thing is God, he's helped us in this area so much to just, even when we have conflict, to resolve it differently. And then you just realize there's a lot of things we argue about that's not even worth arguing.
Yeah.
So,
I can't wait to get started on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
All right, so let's dive right in to our topic today.
Yes.
Amy, you want to go ahead and introduce what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so conflict is inevitable. It's not the end of the world.
It
if you're
really
having
isn't.
Conflict with your spouse, don't worry. We still have conflict all the time. Yeah,
we do. We're in a conflict right now, aren't we? No, I'm
just joking. I can hardly stand sitting. No, okay. No.
I don't even like you.
Seriously. Conflict is not the end of the world, which I thought it was for many years. And we just want to help you feel a little bit normal and hopefully let you know where we totally messed up and the few places we've learned how to get it right, hopefully pass on some wisdom there. So,
I mean, the thing is, it's like you said, it's inevitable.
Yes.
You have two people, you have different personalities, you have mm-hmm. different passions. You have different desires.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in between all of that, conflict is going to arise.
Yes.
You know, you're not dealing with two of the exact same people.
Yeah, so
and that's the way God intended for it to be. So.
Yeah. Helps sharpen you.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some causes of conflict that you know of?
Oh, man. For me, I think my top one, when I think about it, would be other circumstances going on in that person's life. Outside of the marriage. I can personally speak on that. I know when I'm having a rough season at work or just a rough season in life in general, I tend to take it out on the ones that I care about the most.
Yeah, because they're closest to you.
Right.
They're not going anywhere.
It's,
so you can it's let
very,
it out on them.
It's a lot easier. I'm not going to walk up to a stranger and take it out on them.
Right.
I think it goes back to the highlight mentality. You see a lot of people's mm-hmm. highlight mentality. But the person I'm most comfortable with, yeah, they're going to get the brunt of what's going on in my life.
Because really, you have conflict going on inside
yes.
you already,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of comes out on in your safe zones, which is your home.
So yeah, that would definitely be a cause. What about you, Amy?
My big one would be disappointment from expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does this. I want him to do this. I wish he would do this. And if those expectations aren't met, I have a level of frustration and disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fuels that conflict of I'm disappointed that you didn't blank. Or
right.
I'm frustrated that you're not meeting my expectations. Sometimes I don't even tell you what those expectations are. But if you're not meeting him, and the enemy can really get inside your head and say, hey, he's not doing this. He's not doing this.
Yeah.
Focus on that. Focus on that. And then that's where the conflict arises.
Right. So how many men out there are not getting those expectations communicated to them?
Yeah, probably.
But here's the thing. It's the same with women. I'm sure men aren't communicating their expectations. So a lot of that just stems with communication.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't know what you expect
from
me unless you have voiced what you expect from me.
Yeah.
So, another thing we have that we wanted to talk about was selfishness.
Yeah.
So really, it's in our human nature to want what we want.
Yeah, that's kind of bad, but it's kind of normal too. Of course, you want what you want. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. So then if the other person doesn't want what you want,
yeah,
there's going to be a conflict.
Yes. Yeah. You look great, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're just bettering me up.
I know, man.
you said you didn't.
No, it's because I'm looking in your eyes while we're talking.
Oh, the eyes again. Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of these topics. Give them some good and bad ways to resolve conflict, or some different areas where we can work on conflict resolution.
Yeah. We know a lot of bad ways to have conflict.
Oh, tons of them. We've been there.
Yeah,
so the first one we want to talk about is words. Mm. So here's the bad way to handle conflict with words. So Psalms 52:4 says, "Refrain from tearing each other down with words." And here's the thing, personal attacks can cause years, depths of hurt. Man, this area for me is major. Mm-hmm. Because I have always been one to tear down with words. I think on a previous podcast, you even mentioned how I'm an encourager.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of areas where we're strong, that can also be an area of where we are weak as well.
Yeah.
So I've always had a tendency to feel like I have to cut that person deep so they hurt like I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. So they can, otherwise that she can't feel my hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hurt her so she can feel how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's not what you want to do. The Bible says this in Psalm 52:4. You love any words that destroy, you treacherous tongue.
Mm.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because what we have to do is we have to find a way to resolve that conflict, and this goes to the good portion of it, words.
Yeah.
We want to resolve that conflict and at the same time maintain our oneness.
Yeah, that's got to be the goal. The goal isn't necessarily winning, it's maintaining oneness. And one thing that you have started to do over the years is sometimes even when we're in the middle of arguing, you'll just come to me and either give me a hug, hold my hands, look in my eyes, and just say, "Hey, I just want to be close to you. I love you. And that's most important to me."
Yeah.
And just to hear my husband say that what is most important to him is not winning the argument. The most important thing to him is to be close to me. Well, that just tears down all my walls and dissipates my anger. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a breath of fresh air of, oh yeah, what's our goal here? Our goal is to be close to each other, and nothing is worth sacrificing that closeness over.
Right. And that's the thing. It's determining to be a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that conflict is, you know, we've been through so many of these. I mean, we've had our fair share of chances when it comes to conflict, and it's amazing because we were talking about a story when we were prepping for this. We were talking about a story where I was going to one of our kids. So we have a high schooler that plays softball, and I was heading over to the softball game. Well, Amy was at open house, right, at the school?
Yeah, but see, what you didn't know is for the last couple of years, open house has been very stressful for me. Like
when you're going to open house with five kids,
yeah,
it's stressful
because there's only like a few hours, and I have to get usually to three different campuses in that two-hour period, and have the last couple of years newborn baby with me, and they're pooping and needing to eat and trying to meet all the teachers and all this.
And so, the whole time she's doing that, I'm at work.
He's at work chilling.
Yeah.
Nothing big there.
I'm just sitting in my office, leaned back in the desk.
So I'm at my son's, you know, meet the teacher, which is also where you get set up. He couldn't get into his locker, so we had a locker drama. It was his first time doing the locker combination. I had to switch lockers, which put us behind time to get to the high school. And then our 14-year-old has wanted to decorate her locker the last few years, and we hadn't done it. We finally got the locker decorations and the wallpaper, and so I'm going to help her do that. We only have, like, a little bit of time to do that, plus meet all her high school teachers and help her get to know her schedule. So I'm trying to do that. And so then not only do I have my 2-year-old, we're also babysitting a 3-year-old, and they're, like, super good friends. And so while I'm helping finally at the high school my 14-year-old decorate her locker, the 2-year-old and 3-year-old are pushing the water fountain button. And so I'm like, okay, cool. That'll keep them busy for a while. They're pushing the water fountain button. Like, that's not a big deal. So I ask my son, who's 10, to keep an eye on her. I mean, she's right there in my eyesight, but just, you know, kind of keep an eye. Well, he and our 7-year-old decided to try to break into all the lockers, and so try to figure out the combinations around the other lockers, so they were no help. And before I knew it, the 2- and 3-year-old had developed a pond.
Flooded.
A pond in the middle of the hallway. Yeah. I'm talking, took up half the hallway. Like, they were having full on water play in the high school. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, I gotta clean this up. And my 14-year-old has to meet her teachers. And so, boys, go get paper towels out of the bathroom, start cleaning it up. And I'm trying to get everything done. And so I'm just kind of like, oh my goodness, everything's unraveling. And then Bryant calls, and I'm like, hallelujah.
What, like, what she thought was going to be her knight in shining armor.
Yes, he called. That means he's on work.
That was not why I was calling, just so you know.
And he works on campus, so he would only be like 5 minutes away. I mean, he would be right there.
So she calls me, and she voices to me that I could really use your help. She didn't tell me everything that was going on. I didn't know the depths of it. But she said, you know, I could really use your help. If you could just come in here and help me out with the kids while we're doing the open house. And my response was, well, I just pulled up to the softball field, which is just 2 minutes away from where she was. I'm heading to the softball game.
He said, I'm going to watch a softball game.
Yeah. So after that,
this is part of what not to do.
Yeah. Can we, need to touch
so
on this topic.
At that point, I took a big, deep breath, and I hit the red click hang up button.
She hung up in my face.
I hung up in his face. And so, ladies, I'm not advocating doing this. I'm sorry, but it was in that moment I was overwhelmed, and I thought, he's going to help me. And instead, he's just like, whatever, I'm going to softball game. So I was like, I don't have time to deal with this. I'm hanging up, and I am, like, dealing with this situation. So I hang up on him, and a few minutes later,
he shows up. But we tell you guys this story because we talked about this. And
yeah, so that night, he was on the couch. I was walking kind of by. I said, you know, that really hurt my feelings that I needed so much help, and you just blew me off and we're going to the softball game. And he said,
and I basically said, you know, I did not realize how much help you needed until you hung up in my face. And so
he said, once you hung up, I did know it was a dire situation, and I headed right over.
So, yeah, but let's...
So then we kissed, and that was kind of the end of it. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Years ago, Amy, that would have been World War III.
Yeah, cold shoulder for weeks.
We wouldn't have talked for weeks.
I would have said, how dare you ignore my needs, and you would have said, how dare you hang up on me.
And I would have said, you know what? You could have handled that situation by yourself. I shouldn't be involved in everything. Yada, yada. Yeah. Instead of coming to you and helping you. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's just a story to kind of walk you guys through what God has done in our lives. Yeah. So the next topic we want to discuss is being a listener and actually empathizing with your spouse.
Yeah. So what people will tend to be drawn to is being quick to speak. You want to be heard, so you're going to pour it out on your spouse, and they're going to shoot it back to you. And so it's just two people trying to speak and speak and speak and get their point across.
Right.
And the Bible actually says to be slow to speak.
Right.
So it kind of goes against what feels natural to you.
Yeah, so James 1:19 says, everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Yeah.
I just go back to this. I wonder how many problems in this world could be resolved just by listening.
Yeah.
Empathizing and communicating. I think if we did those things, it would change the world. I mean, of course, Jesus is the ultimate answer.
Yeah.
But we could do these things to change so many situations in our world.
You don't have to say everything you're thinking and feeling in that moment. That's you right. can think and feel some pretty horrible things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to say them.
Right.
Because once you say them, they're out there and you can't get them back. Yeah. And that can stick with your spouse for years and cause so much damage. And then you have to live with the damaged spouse that you created. When you pour that on them and cut them down and cut them down, that's a damaged spouse now. And then you get frustrated with them because they're a broken spouse
right.
when you're the one that broke them. So it's so powerful.
So what we want to focus on is not winning the argument
yeah.
and always being right, but we want to focus on hearing your spouse's heart.
Yeah.
That if you just listen and empathize with where they're coming from.
Yeah.
It really sets the tone for you not to just jump at the first thing you want to say
yeah.
And cut them with your words.
Yeah, I agree.
And it also opens up doors for you to serve your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. So another point of conflict in our marriage, or really in any marriage, is criticism.
Yes.
There's times where you're going to be able to point out to your spouse areas that they got wrong, areas they need to grow in, areas that hurt you. And that kind of is all encompassing with criticism. And so if you're the one criticizing or offering critique or saying, hey, I don't like this or this hurts me, there's a bad way of going about doing it. There is a wrong way
right.
to do that.
Right.
If you're the one criticizing, one of the worst things you can do is personally attack the other person. So this is something for years and years I have committed to in our marriage is
yeah,
to
yeah.
not personally attack Bryant, not personally attack his character, not make generalizations about his character.
Yep.
General stations like you are this, I really try to stay away from because he's created in the image of God and that's not who he is. There are actions that he's doing. So even if he has just lied to me, I refrain from saying, you're such a liar, or you are such a jerk, or you are so lazy. You are, you know what I mean? So any of those you are those blanket statements are really just, it's like character assassination, and I've really purposed to not do that.
Yeah, that's true. So the personally attacking, demeaning.
Yeah. As you're offering the criticism, you go ahead and cut him down while you do it. You
right,
demean him, make
right.
him feel stupid, make him feel
and for
less than
and I think for me, what I have a tendency to do when I criticize is just to complain. Like,
yeah.
I just complain and complain and complain about it. I'm sure you want to just eventually say, "Dude, will you just shut up? I don't want to hear any more of that complaining." But
no, sometimes I'll say, is there anything that you like right now? Could you just
that
say
is
one
all
of those?
I hear is everything you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome having a wife that you try to argue with, and she will look at you and say, you know, you're arguing with yourself. So that usually shuts down any of the complaining at that point as well.
I think a lot of that stems from the demeaning and the personally attacking. As you think really highly of your good points,
mm-hmm.
and then you overemphasize their bad points. You're mm-hmm. like, well, I do this. I bring this to the table. And you're telling yourself all the wonderful things you do. You know you have bad things, but you're not telling yourself in that moment. You're relaying and replaying all your good. And then you're like, well, they don't do this, and they don't do this, and he didn't do this, and he, and you're just focusing so much on what they didn't do that you're really becoming too critical in that moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's focus on some of the good.
Okay.
So if you the do good have, ways to bring
we
that
have
criticism.
Legitimate concerns. That's one of the awesome things about having a spouse is they can bring up those ways to
you think
help
how,
you be better.
So you think of how special that is.
Yeah.
That God allows you to see a person and to have a relationship with a person that deep that you can see those flaws or see something that maybe they need to change.
And things they're able to hide from everyone else.
Yeah, you know the truth and
yeah.
you can speak into that and help them, walk them through it, but still do it out of love, right?
Yeah, so good. So that's the biggest thing is if you are going to bring something up, do it in a place of love.
Right.
Just like the way you discipline your children, you shouldn't be disciplining your children out of anger. Nothing good is going to come out of that. And so if you're bringing up criticism to your spouse out of a place of love, that's going to be really hard to resist on their part, right, if they know you're doing it from a place of love.
So what are some ways we can tell that they're doing it out of love?
The biggest tone.
Tone.
Tone, that's a good the one. Way they say it. If you're being soft-spoken, gentle when you come to them, again, not personally attacking, saying, hey, this is something I'm concerned about, that is a lot softer place to receive from. Now, you know, sometimes the spouse still isn't going to receive it, but at least you can do your best to create an atmosphere that it's easier to receive.
Even emphasizing why it hurts you, why what they're doing is hurting you.
Yeah.
And then I would say also, do not do this when you're upset.
Oh, in the middle of a fight, that's not the time.
That's not
to
the
do
time
it
to criticize, yeah, your spouse in the middle of a fight when tempers are, mm-hmm, flaring.
Yeah, find a nice, peaceful time and bring it up and just say, hey, I want to put this out there. You know, I want to.
You're
talk
really
about
good
this
at that, by the way. Yeah. You seem to set me straight when it's a very peaceful time. I love that and I appreciate that about you.
Good.
So, yeah, so what we have next is...
What if you're the person being criticized? What's a bad way to handle that? What if you came to me and said, hey, this is a problem I'm facing with you. This is something, mm-hmm, I don't like. This is an area I think you need to grow in. You know, something like that. How do we handle it if I'm the one being criticized? A bad way to handle that is to automatically be defensive and not acknowledge it and just say, nope, you're wrong. That's not me. You know, who do you think you are?
Right.
Defense.
Have some humility.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So that comes back to the pride. So
yeah, your pride.
A lot of times
up
when those things are pointed out to you, the pride instantly is what rises up.
And I always say, if I was at work and I had a nice business outfit on and I got mustard on my shirt, if someone came to me, a friend, and said, hey, you have mustard on your shirt, I would be so thankful that I'm, right, not going to walk around and embarrass myself all day with mustard. Right. If someone didn't tell me, I'd be frustrated. I'm like, you let me walk around all day like this? Well, that's really what your spouse is. If they say, hey, I see this character flaw, instead of getting
that's
mad
great
at them, thank goodness you told me that, because other people are probably seeing it too, and this is embarrassing.
That's good.
So at least in the privacy of your home, they can bring this up, and we can be thankful that, hey, I get to clean off this mustard spill right now in the privacy of my own home instead of me never addressing it and it affecting so many areas of my life.
That's a great way to put it. You can tell which one of us is the author and the communicator in this relationship. That's great. That's that's a great way to put it, a great reference. So if you're being criticized, here are some of the good ways to handle that.
Yeah, I heard a lady one time say her daughter was being criticized, and I kind of thought her daughter was right in the situation, and her daughter thought she was right in the situation. But this is something I heard her tell her daughter, and I thought it was so wise. She said, look for the sliver of truth, that even if you feel like the other person is completely wrong and you're completely right, what if there's a small amount of truth there? And look for that and how you can grow from that. I think they're being unfair. I think they're being unreasonable. But is there a sliver of truth?
Man. Well, anytime, I know in our relationship, anytime you've brought something like that up, even when I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to talk about that or that's not happening, deep down, I'm like, dang, she is reading my mail. That's the thing. If something like that is being brought up, there's got to be a sliver of truth to it.
Yeah.
It's not that
they're
your
not
spouse
just
going to create
air
the, yes.
Yeah.
This is something that they see. And you have to consider this, that they want the best for you.
Yeah.
Your spouse wants the best for you.
Yeah.
When these things are brought up, like we mentioned earlier, it's an amazing relationship that we're so intimate that we can help each other like that. And that's the way God intended it. Amy's in my life for a reason. Your spouse is in your life for a reason, because they're going to make you better. If you allow that relationship to be what it's going to be, you all are only going to grow from that relationship.
Yeah, so good. So really the last topic that we wanted to talk about, there's so many facets of
we
conflict.
Talk about this
we can
all
talk
day
about all. We are really good about that.
We
have a
we
lot of material. The last one we wanted to talk about, at least today, maybe we'll bring this up on another day so we can go into it some more, but is blaming your spouse versus taking responsibility. Mm. Man, this has come up so much. I know, and I know this has probably come up in your marriage as well, that a lot of times when you are acting in a way you're not proud of in conflict with your spouse, you automatically resort to, it's their fault.
Right.
You think this to your spouse, you make me act this way.
Right.
I never acted this way until I married you.
So good.
And so your tendency is to think, well, it's them. They're the reason I'm acting this way. When the truth is, it was already in you. You just weren't close enough to anyone. You could hide it with everyone else.
Right.
You could stuff it down. Your issues of unforgiveness, of anger, of bitterness, of temper, you can stuff that with so many people, but you're in such close proximity to your spouse every day, such intimacy that they can uncover those hidden places and it comes out. And really, instead of saying, you make me act this way, realizing this was in me. Mm-hmm. And this is just shining a light on what was already in me.
Right. That's so good. So good. I mean, and that's the thing. It goes back to what we've been talking about. When you allow God to do what he's trying to do in your life and in your marriage, you realize that your spouse plays a huge part, a huge role in you growing.
Yeah.
If you allow that to happen and you don't take everything personal and don't feel like, oh, I'm under attack and you're telling me things that are wrong. But like we've worked with couples over the last couple months. And one of the statements I make is, you know, if they're pointing out your faults or if you guys are having those conversations, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
You have to see it as a good thing because that means it's out there in the open, and now you can grow from it.
Yeah, so good. We have to recognize our part in this. How did I contribute to this situation? That's a point of humility. And the more thankful you are of God's forgiveness to you, the bigger chance you're going to extend that forgiveness to your spouse. Something I started praying several years ago is taken from the Lord's Prayer about forgiveness. And as I pray and ask God for forgiveness, I also say, God, please help me be as generous in forgiving others as you are in forgiving me. And so when you are so thankful for the forgiveness you've received from God, you're going to be more apt to extend that grace and that forgiveness to your spouse.
I agree. That's really good. Another way that you can handle this good as far as blame versus responsibility is apologizing quickly.
Yeah.
It goes back to being the person in that situation, focusing on maintaining our oneness.
Yeah.
Because that's something you don't want to lose sight of through all of the conflict.
Yeah.
You want to always remember that you guys are on the same team.
Yeah.
You're after the same goals in life, and you always want to pursue oneness.
Yeah. And it's not always they're right and they're all right.
Right.
I'm all right and they're all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It can be in the middle. You can both have some valid points and you can both have some bogus points. It's fine, you know, and just being able to recognize this is important to you and I see that. Even though I don't totally get it, even though I may not agree at all, I at least recognize this is important to you.
I mean, I know from what we've kind of dealt with, I have a tendency to, for years, just to not apologize. And I would walk around upset for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be over something so petty.
Yeah.
And what I try to do now is, even when I feel like you aren't 100% right sometimes.
What?
Yes, I do. I know. This is news.
Oh, dun, dun, no. Dun.
I try to keep the oneness.
Yeah.
So finding you, apologizing to you, because I just want to feel close to my spouse. I want to feel close
so
to
good
you.
To feel close.
So that's what we would encourage you guys to do.
So good.
And it's not all or nothing.
Yeah.
It's not all or nothing. There, you can't look. I can't listen to what you're saying and say, "Oh, you're 100. You're all wrong."
Mm-hmm.
like we said, find the sliver of truth.
Yeah.
In what they're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't agree with everything they're saying. That's fine.
That's okay.
But there's got to be some truth somewhere in that.
Got it. I like it. Now we're never going to fight again, right? Finally, we've reached that point.
Right.
That's really what I thought at some point. You never have a disagreement with your spouse again. I really thought that.
Did you?
Yes.
Until you married me, right?
No, while we were married, our first several years, I really thought at some point married people, if they're really like a good quality couple, right. Like there's a point they just don't argue anymore and they don't have conflict. Yeah. And so I kind of tossed that to the side.
Yeah, so that just didn't happen.
But I realized you can still have a loving marriage full of serving your spouse, full of honoring God, honoring your spouse, and still have conflict sometimes in the middle of it. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, like you said, so the key is learning how to resolve it the way it needs to be resolved. Yeah. Not taking a lot of the bad things we've, not taking the bad routes that we just discussed, but taking the good routes to resolve things.
Don't hang up on your spouse.
All right, so time for our
Q&A
session, which I'm excited about. This. Remember, you can log on to becomingonepod.com to submit a question, or you can email us at connect@becomingonepod.com.
Yes, so our question this week is from someone that is asking about finances and how to handle that, especially when the first several years of marriage, trying to figure out who's responsible for it, who's in charge, how do you, what if one person wants to do one thing, one another, how do you handle that? So I think one of the biggest points is usually, I'll say this, different seasons bring different times in your life. There was a season where you were working full-time, volunteering a lot at our church, and going to school full-time, and we only had a few kids at that point. I was home more. It just made sense for me to handle the finances. I had more physical time to do that.
Right.
I'm very organized, so it was great. Now, at this point in our life, you're able to handle it more, and I take a step back, and you are responsible for paying the bills, et cetera.
Right.
Although I do, handle some of the bank deposits. But I think one of the big points is that when I was in charge of it, I really didn't communicate to you where we were.
Zero.
I knew what bills were coming in. I knew where we were short. I knew what I was trying to save. I knew what I was trying to pay.
Right.
And then you would be trying to do stuff with our finances. And I'm like, actually, you don't know this, but this is really tight right now. And so this is something, that's really hard. I think when one person is in charge, is still communicating to the other spouse.
Right.
Yeah, this is where we're at. This is where we're short. This is a goal that I'm trying to save, that sort of thing.
That's really good. So, yeah, you did. There was a long season where you handled the finances, and I never knew anything about anything.
Yeah.
I handle them today, but I still do the same thing. I don't communicate as well as I should.
Yeah.
I think I try to sometimes, but I try to carry a lot of that on my shoulders. What I would encourage you to do is who has a strength in that in that area? Where's the strength as far as the husband and wife? Who has the strength in that area?
And just because you're strong in that area, that doesn't mean you need to be a dictator.
That's right.
And just say, well, I'm strong in this area. This is what we're going to do. And I know what we're going to do. Again, listening to your spouse.
Right.
What's important? Maybe what's important to you is having a lot in savings.
Mm-hmm.
And your spouse wants to take a trip with the family. And you, what's more important to you is the savings. But what's more important to them is to take a trip. Understand the heart behind it, which is what you just talked about with Kong. What is the heart behind it? Did they go on family trips as a child and it was some of the best times in their life and it's some of their best memories and they want to be able to pass that on to their kids? That's not evil, It's saving money so your family can be secure. That's not evil. It's being able to empathize and realize, wow, this is really important. So find those points of importance. This is what's most important to my spouse. This is what's most important to me. And how can we compromise in that?
So good. That is so, so good.
Yeah.
I couldn't have answered that question any better than you just did.
Oh, thank you.
Again, email us. Log on to becomingonepod.com. Send us your questions. We love it.
Love to hear from you.
Love being a resource for all of our friends out there. And we are so thankful that all of you took the time to listen today.
Yeah, we love having this time with you, and we look forward to next time.
We'll see you next time on Becoming One.